Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. Along with us is TJ Inman. Today we are dipping into the Big 12 to do our conference previews. Last week was the ACC. If you want to listen to that preview, check out Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts, along on the Armchair Network as well. But first, let's have a word from our sponsor over at Bet Online. The sports world is slowly making its way back with the NBA announcing its return in late July. But right now, UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and international soccer have all resumed play, and BetOnline has the best odds or lines for their upcoming games and matches. Related to NFL, NBA, and UFC happening live every day for our devout gamblers to check out. BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. So visit betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device and join now to receive your welcome bonus. That's betonline.ag, your online wagering experts. So TJ, it's been a week. How you feeling about college football this year?
Yeah, it's you have certainly moments of optimism where it feels like things are really going in the right direction. And then it seems like you just every couple days there's, program X had to shut down workouts because of, this many tests that were positive. And you just, it's going to be so difficult for teams or programs, universities, however you want to put it, to navigate this throughout the season because, the NBA can try a bubble, which is not going to be a real bubble because there will be people that are going to come in contact with the players that come and go out of it. But still, it's a, the best attempt that they can have at isolation. College football programs, they can't do that. They cannot. Students go to class. They go places within the community. And it's impossible to prevent that from happening. In addition, these guys are not grown adults, so they are not always going to make decisions. And that's not to say that grown adults always do make the best decisions, but, they're not always going to make decisions with, the coronavirus in mind. So I worry that we could have – I think we will have a season in some respect. Hopefully it is one that, is as close to what we know and love about it as possible. But I do think that there's, a definite possibility that it's just a very compromised season where, you have a lot of teams that are playing with skeleton crews because, a number of guys have to be quarantined and miss out. But all we can do, I think, is just be positive about things and hope that, hope that this goes better than expected. I do think that the economics of the sport and what it means for athletic departments, there's no doubt in my mind that schools are going to do whatever they possibly can to get as much football as possible this fall.
Yeah, and it was looking like some schools would have like 25% capacity. I uh-huh. think, as you said, they'll do anything to play these games because of the TV money and things like that. I just have a feeling that it's going to be less than that, maybe 10%, maybe just players, families, and things like that. You have a semi-bubble in college, just because you're on a college campus.
True.
And, you know, it is a 40,000 person bubble in Bloomington. But you can, you know, if you needed to, you could totally isolate on the Bloomington campus. You have food services in there. Yeah, the restaurant industry would take a hit, and you got to figure something out, you know, with delivery and things like that. But in theory, you could keep those 40,000 people from interacting with the outside world. And I think that's, you know, as a teacher, looking at the public school system too, it's like, it would be so much easier if we were at a boarding school. But enough of COVID. Let's get into our Big 12 preview, TJ.
Excellent.
We'll go over our championship game picks, our top non-conference games, top conference game, and then get into our game-by-game breakdown. For all of you who don't know, the Big 12 has 10 teams. They do not do divisions, but they have a championship game. So the teams that finish first and second in the conference play in the championship game, and it's usually Oklahoma. So my championship game pick this year is Oklahoma State. And the thing I found interesting with this is that usually Oklahoma State comes at the end of the year. And this year, Bedlam is in October, on October 24th. So it's kind of, you know, people talk about moving the bucket game places, and you'll see it in the Big Ten. I think Iowa and Minnesota is playing in September. You're seeing all these rivalry games kind of move around dates and try and get off that Thanksgiving weekend and things like that. But Oklahoma is, until somebody knocks them off, and this is the same thing as we said last week with Clemson, until somebody knocks them off, they're king dog. They've gone to the playoff for 3 years in a row. They haven't gotten out of that first – out of the semifinal, but they've gone – you know, they've gone 12-2 the last 2 years. They're going to be a top 10 team. They have to replace Jalen Hurts at quarterback. But outside of that, this team is loaded, and you have a quarterback coming in. And TJ, you'll talk about Oklahoma first in more depth. This team's very, very good. Then Oklahoma State, you know, they have Oklahoma State usually has their star players in trios, and they come in bunches. You saw it when IU played them in the Insight Bowl with Dez Bryant and that crew. And it's an interesting trio. You have Chuba Hubbard this year as well. You have an All-American at wide receiver too. So the offense is going to be very good. And then the defense, which is usually not a thing we talk about with Big 12 football, their defense coming back is pretty good. I mean, for the Big 12, it's, you know, you have 86% returning production, which ranks them eighth in the country. So all those young guys who got thrown to the fire last year have experience and things like that. So I think Oklahoma State and their schedule works out well too. They get Texas at home. You get West Virginia at home, so you don't have to make that stupid trip out to Morgantown. You don't really play anybody in the non-conference slate. You get Oregon State at home, Tulsa, Western Illinois. You do have to go to Oklahoma on October 24th. But because it's not divisions, you could finish 1-2 and get that rematch, which I think it's going to be. So what is your championship game pick, TJ?
Yeah, I went with the same. I really did go back and forth between Oklahoma State and Iowa State, ultimately landing on the Cowboys. Primarily, they host Iowa State. You know, they get to host that game. Their schedule is quite favorable. And then – you're right. They've got that trio, Spencer Sanders, Tyvon Wallace, and Chuba Hubbard, along with a defense that brings back, you know, over 80% of its production. while they're not a top-notch defense, I do think that they're pretty good. They should be better than they were a year ago. So I went with them. And then Oklahoma, of course, and I'll talk about them now as we get into our team previews here. And I'll say, as a conference, I really like the Big 12. The only thing I don't like about it is that the Big 10 rarely has any involvement with the Big 12. Hardly any games between the two schools. Going through the schedules, the only thing I saw was Iowa State, of course, their annual rivalry, which is a lot of fun, the Cy-Hawk Trophy, and then Maryland's playing West Virginia. Those are the only two Big Ten teams playing against the Big 12. I'd like to see that pick up a little bit, at least. But, you know, I think it's a really cool league with a lot of depth. And the gap between Oklahoma, you're right, it is kind of a Clemson situation. The gap between them and the second, third, fourth place, I think, is a lot closer than it is with the Clemson and the rest of the ACC. Oklahoma's been to 5 Big 12 title games in a row. They are a favorite for a 6th consecutive. You know, the interesting question is, can Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley win with the quarterback that they recruited out of high school? Yep. It's been kind of guys that have transferred in there that have lit it up for them. Spencer Rattler is going to be the guy that steps in. If you watch the QB1 series on Netflix, you will recognize that name. He was a star in high school, top-rated recruit, chose Oklahoma. Certainly an understandable decision, and now he gets his shot. You know, the one constant for Oklahoma outside of those prolific quarterbacks, and they are intertwined, is offensive line play. And Oklahoma, again, is going to have one of the best offensive lines in the country. And that brings up, you know, their offense around it. That's been the anchor for them that often gets overlooked, is how good that offensive line is year in and year out. It will be again. Really good personnel up front there. As far as running backs go, Kennedy Brooks, pretty good RB1. Real questions behind him, though. Ramondre Stevenson is suspended for the first 5 games. And it's questionable who's going to be the backup. True freshman Seth McGowan, big-time recruit. He's probably the guy that'll step in. Of course, CeeDee Lamb gets drafted to the Dallas Cowboys, so they need some receivers to step up. They've recruited incredibly well there because, you know, receivers do, of course, want to play in that offense. I would, too, if I was a good receiver. It's, you know, you're going to put up huge numbers. So they've got some guys to step up with athleticism, with the profile you want. It's just a matter of whether or not they'll do it. I think they'll be fine offensively. You know, the question is going to come on defense, and can that defense in the second year under Alex Grinch, they did improve. They definitely improved during the season last year. You know, they went to number 2 overall in the Big 12, and now they get back 12 of the top 15 tacklers. Look, it's hard to doubt Lincoln Riley at this point when it comes to the offensive side of the ball. And if they've got enough of an improvement from Alex Grinch in that defense, I don't see any way that Oklahoma doesn't see themselves back in the Big 12 title game. You know, the question becomes, if Oklahoma gets back to the Big 12 title game with a loss and they win the Big 12, does the playoff committee continue to put them in at that 4 slot or the 3 slot? And can Oklahoma get to that next tier and win a playoff game? And I think that will come down to, we know Rattler is good. How good can he be? Can he be a major difference maker? If so, there's no reason Oklahoma can't get to that next level. But, you know, they're going to need the defense to get to the next level for them to do so as an overall team.
Yeah, it's Oklahoma. It's kind of, they're kind of stuck in that, okay, we've made the playoff. Now can we get back to a national title game? And that hasn't
good
happened.
Place to be. Good place to be.
It's not a bad place to be, but you've had, you know, 3 Heisman finalists, 2 Heisman winners in the last 3 years, and it feels like you're kind of missing out on the big pot at the end of the rainbow. With Oklahoma. But speaking of missing chances, let's get to Texas. Are we back or are we not back?
Yeah, I mean, it's obligatory. You've got to make fun of them a little bit here.
They were back last year, or supposed to be back last year. They ended up going 8-5. They played really well against LSU offensively. But after that, it was, you know, they won three in a row after that. But then you get a close loss against Oklahoma where they were outgained by 200 yards. They did win the turnover battle. Then the defense kind of fell apart. They let up 48 points to Kansas and lost to TCU, let up 37 points to a TCU team who had a true freshman quarterback. You beat Kansas State, but then you lose to Iowa State and Baylor. But you feel really good about their bowl win over Utah. It was a good Utah team. It was the best game they have played all year. They outgained Utah by 184 yards. But I think Tom Herman is feeling the heat. There you've got two new coordinators in Austin. You've got Mike Yurcich coming in on offense. He's going to open it up a little bit. Instead of doing these dinks and dunks to slot receivers, he's going to let guys go a little bit more vertical. And then you have our old friend Chris Ash at Rutgers, who is at Rutgers, coming in for Todd Orlando at defensive coordinator. And Todd Orlando's defense, it was just so complicated. And this is something that we talk about at IU as well. Now you got good athletes. Texas has great athletes. They've recruited better. You know, in the last 5 years, they have an average class rank of 6 in the country. So they have the best athletes in the country. Let them play. And I think that's what Chris Ash is going to let them do a little bit more, is bring that Big Ten attitude from Rutgers and from his time at Ohio State, and kind of let his athletes play instead of, you know, just blitzing for the hell of blitzing and things like that. But Texas does, you get your quarterback back. They're going to try and not run him so much as last year. You cannot let Sam Ellinger get hurt. I think he ran the ball 150 times last year. He's been labeled more of a running back who's playing quarterback, but he could throw the ball as well. And, you know, we'll see. Your wide receivers, it's a top 6 class the last 5 years. You got the athletes. They need to improve on defense. Their pass defense was ranked 127th in the country last year. They let up 432 yards per game. They return a lot of guys, 82% of their defense, which is 13th nationally. But it's time to, you know, put it all together for Texas. Their schedule is kind of difficult. You get Oklahoma and the Red River rivalry on a neutral site. But you got LSU on September 12th, and you got to go into Death Valley, even though LSU, there's no possible way LSU is going to be as good as they were last year on offense. You got a tough trip to Kansas State, and you end the season at Oklahoma State. I flip-flopped between Oklahoma State and Texas in the Big 12 title game, but I think it comes down to that last game against Oklahoma State, and it's on the road against an explosive offense. So we'll see. And it's Tom Herman's got to get the job done. All right, TJ, where are we going next?
Well, let's go to Iowa State. I'm going to go to Ames, Iowa. Interesting team last year. You'll hear it often, you know, best 7-16 there's ever been, this and that. I'm not going to, you know, debate that one way or the other, but, you know, they were 7 points away from being 10-2. Matt Campbell is clearly building a really good program there. And I just think it's a matter of time before they break through. You know, we've heard as IU fans, you know, we know all about close losses, and you know, the saying that, you know, oh well, you know, you turn those close losses into close wins, and then the close wins into big wins, and you know, that progression. Well, it can take a while, so I'm not saying it's automatic that that turns around for the Cyclones this year, but I really like this team. I really, really like it. Brock Purdy, good quarterback. Young running back Breece Hall, who came on at the end of last year, second half of the year. Jarrell Brock, who's a bigger back, again young. Really good backfield for them that should be good for a couple of years. Maybe the best tight end group in the country. Charlie Kohler and Chase Allen are both all Big 12 types. And Kohler, probably an All-American if he stays healthy. Receiver group, good enough. You know, the offensive line's the question, though. They lose three starters, and the unit wasn't great last year. So, you know, that's a question mark for sure. They've got to get that going. Campbell had good offensive lines at Toledo, so I would think he'd be able to get that fixed, but we'll see. That is the biggest question mark for them. The defense, I think, is going to be the best defense in the Big 12. You know, they were good last year, and they've got a lot back. The linebackers are good. The scheme is kind of similar to Indiana's 4-2-5, where they do play with five defensive backs. It's always an extra safety for them, a little bit more bent on the pass coverage side of things than Indiana has to be in the Big Ten. But it is a similar personnel grouping to what IU plays, so fans will recognize that. The concerns, the road schedule, though, they're at Iowa, Oklahoma State, TCU, and Texas. Then they've got the home game to Oklahoma. For me, it just came down to I think that they're right there with the Cowboys, but they have to go to Stillwater. So I took Oklahoma State to get there. But I think Iowa State's a really good program on the rise right now. And as long as Matt Campbell stays there, they're going to be a force in the Big 12.
Yeah, and it seems like another missed opportunity, you know, with a veteran quarterback and things like that. You know, people have been saying Iowa State's kind of the sleeper in that conference for a while. But yeah. Let's go to Oklahoma State and Stillwater. It's going to be a real interesting season, just off the field stuff with Chuba Hubbard and Mike Gundy. But on the field, they're very good, and they're ready to. I think they're ready to take that next step. They went 8-5 last year, lost a bowl game to Texas A&M. Their losses were Oklahoma, Baylor, Texas, Texas Tech. They beat West Virginia, Kansas, TCU, Iowa State, Kansas State, and then Tulsa, McNeese State, and Oregon State in the non-conference. But they ended the season with two losses. Their Gundy is, I think, 2-14 or 2-13 against Oklahoma. It's time to, like, get over that hump if you're Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
So you get Sanders back. You get Chuba Hubbard back. And he could have gone to the NFL. He led every long yard rushing category last year. He rushed for 2,094 yards, so he had the most 20-yard runs, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. So, you know, he'll be on the short list for the Heisman, and, you know, we'll see where they go. Sanders got to take care of the ball at quarterback. He turns the ball over way too much. He needs to stay healthy as well. But their offense averaged 32.5 points per game last year. They just need to fix that offensive line a little bit. They gave up 7% sacks on their sack rate, which is 78th in the country. Their touchdown interception ratio was 1.9-1, which ranked 74th. And their passing offense was just ranked 71st. So that on offenses needs to be taken care of. Their pass defense, and in a pass-heavy league like like the Big 12. They ranked 102nd nationally. All the rest is kind of in the middle of the road at 26.8 points per game. But their defense is 8th in returning production. They do lose A.J. Green in the secondary, but you get Rodarius Williams turned down the draft to come back. Harvell-Peel is coming back. So you got some guys back. It's what do you do with these young players and turn it around? It seems like every time Oklahoma State is ready to take that next step, something happens. So we'll see. It's going to rest on their defense. They need to fix their offensive line, but they have a shot at Oklahoma. They'll have their shot at Oklahoma. They do have to travel to Oklahoma. They play 3 road games in 4 weeks, starting at TCU. Then you have Iowa State at home, at Kansas, at Oklahoma. It's just a lot of road games in the month of October for them. And then you end the year with Texas at home. If you could get into a position where you can clinch a Big 12 title game spot, they'll be okay. And I think getting Texas at home, if Texas doesn't live up to expectations, that thing could go off the rails quickly, especially changing both coordinators. So that's where that's Oklahoma State for you. They it's offense. If their defense is between medium to good, they're going to be a national contender. So, all right, where are we going next, TJ?
Well, go to Waco, Texas, the Baylor Bears. Very, very good turnaround from Matt Rhule, getting that program to 11 wins in a, you know, a snap, really. I mean, he did a tremendous job and then was rewarded with a job for the Carolina Panthers in the NFL. So Baylor turns to Dave Aranda, which is a very interesting hire. I think it'll prove to be a pretty good hire. Dave Aranda, known as one of the sharpest defensive minds in football, former DC at Wisconsin, former DC at LSU last year, of course, winning a national championship with the Tigers. You know, the 2019 defense was the Big 12's best for the Bears, and they don't really have any glaring weaknesses on their team. However, I don't really see any glare or any noticeable strengths coming back either. It's definitely going to be kind of a reset button for Baylor in terms of personnel and in terms of their overall scheme. I do think that Larry Fedora was a really good hire as an offensive coordinator. I don't want that guy as my head coach, but I think as an OC, that's a good hire. Charlie Brewer, very solid quarterback. He'll need to stay healthy. He runs too much, but they'll need him to do that. Tyquan Thornton is going to have to step in for Denzel Mims at wide receiver. And the offensive line has got to be better. It was not a strength last year, and it really needs to be a lot better to keep Brewer healthy. He's only played I don't have exactly how many games he played in front of me, but Charlie Brewer has got to stay healthy because there's not really a security blanket behind him. You know, they were fortunate last season. Them and Iowa State definitely could have flipped seasons. Baylor probably was realistically about a 9-win team in terms of overall quality, but they got to 11 because they found a way to win those close games. That typically doesn't keep continuing, but we'll see. They do play at Oklahoma, at Texas, at Iowa State, neutral against Ole Miss and the Lane Train. It's a tough schedule. I think they'll go bowling, but they are not going to sniff the 11 wins that they had last year. And look, I like the Baylor program under Aranda, the future of it. I think it was incredible what Matt Rhule did, but the Big 12 is such in the middle, really after Oklahoma, you can't like everybody. You know, teams – you could have a lot of teams go 4-5 and 5-4. I think that's very much on the table.
Yeah, it could be bunched up again like they were last year. Let's go back down to Fort Worth for TCU. TCU missed a bowl game for the first time in a long time.
Despite beating Purdue. Got to throw that in there.
Despite beating Purdue. You had freshman quarterback Max Duggan. Their offense was pretty awful last year. They weren't explosive. They were 111th in the country in explosive pass plays. Their quarterback rating ranked 116th. Their yards per attempt is 113th. Their TD to interception ratio was 102nd. Yards per play was 92nd. They had a decent running game. They averaged 204 yards per game, which ranked 29th, 4.8 yards per carry. They did a lot of stuff on first down. When they ran the ball on first down, it was 5.2 yards per carry. They had an explosive run game. When you could get – and a lot of people focus on third downs, and but when you could get five or so yards running the ball on first down, it makes the game so much easier on offense, so much more difficult on defense. So Max Duggan is back. He needs to improve to get this team back to a bowl game. They kind of have been on a downward trend since 2017. They went 11-3 in 2017. In 2018, they went 7-6, and last year they went 5-7. So it's, you know, can Gary Patterson work his magic that he's worked there before? It's going to be your typical Texas Christian, rely on the defense, which was 27th in the nation against the pass, 39th against the run. Solid defense. If the offense wasn't horrible, they'd be really set. The schedule is pretty manageable. You do have to open at Cal, but then you get Prairie View, A&M, at SMU, who beat TCU last year in a rivalry game, and then you get Oklahoma State at home, you get Oklahoma at home, and you get Iowa State at home. So you get three out of the big four at home. You have to go to Texas, and then you end the season at Kansas. So there's another example of a rivalry game that is no longer on Thanksgiving weekend. But it's all about improving the offense. If this offense can improve, then TCU's could make some noise, and there were always a tough defense and things like that. So we'll see if Max Duggan could have a better sophomore year than he did a freshman year. So, TJ, we're going to take our ad break and another update from Bet Online. So the sports world is slowly making its way back with the NBA announcing its return in late July. But right now, UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and international soccer have all resumed play. We also had horse racing last Saturday in the Belmont Stakes. And BetOnline has the best odds lines for their upcoming games and matches. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening live every day for devout gamblers to check out. BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. Visit betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device and join now to receive your welcome bonus. Betonline.ag, your online wagering experts. All right, TJ, take us to the back half of the Big 12.
Yep, we'll head to the Little Apple. Kansas State surprised nearly everybody last year with an 8-4 campaign in Chris Klieman's first season. It's fair to call that a success, a rousing success in his first year. I was surprised they went 8-4, but I'm not surprised that he's doing a good job there. You know, that's what happens when you hire a proven winner and bring him into a stable culture like Kansas State and Bill Snyder's program. Skyver Thompson's back on offense. He's solid. Kind of an interesting offense. It's really built around Skylar Thompson and his legs. Bit of a, use your quarterback as a bowling ball, if you will. That's hard to do. It's hard to do well, but it does allow them to control the clock, control the tempo, and it's different to prepare for in the Big 12, especially because they're not like any other team that you play in that conference. The biggest concern is the offensive line. They've got to replace five starters. The only guy back is Josh Revis, who plays kind of a swing position where he plays all over the line. He's an important piece to have back, but still, that's a lot to replace. The skill positions have to restart as well, as they lose top two rushers and a top receiver. So it's going to be a lot on Skylar Thompson's shoulders for sure. It helps their defense to control that tempo, really kills the clock, makes it a shorter game. The linebackers are really good. The defensive line is pretty good. Secondary is okay. And the schedule is actually not bad as far as Big 12 schedules go. I like Chris Kleeman long-term, but it's going to be a rough year for them. I think getting to a bowl game would be a success and keep momentum building for them. They need a couple things to go their way and some toss-up matchups. But I guarantee you they'll get somebody. They'll get somebody they're not supposed to because of the way they play and how hard that team typically plays.
They'll get somebody. Let's head over to Morgantown for West Virginia. Mm. They're rebuilding, coming off a 5-7 season, and things like that. So, it's Troy Brown's second year. Their offense was absolutely dreadful last year. They need to pick that up. They ranked 116th on offense. The only categories where they were above 90 were passing offense at 249 yards per game and sack rate, which they ranked 27. Outside of that, everything is 90 or below in the ratings. If they can't get their offense together, it's going to be a long year for them to rebuild. Their defense improved a little bit. They were still awful on the backside in the passing game. They did okay at negating the explosive run games. But, you know, five of the top 11 defensive backs are gone. You lose a couple Big 12, all Big 12 players as well. It's a tough place to play, to coach and win at, when the previous coach was already out the door. And Dana Holgorsen saw the writing on the wall and bolted. But I think it might be a little bit of a stretch to say that West Virginia is going to go to a bowl game this year. Just if you look at their schedule, you open at Florida State, which could be a neutral site game. We'll see what they do with those. You get Eastern Kentucky. You host Maryland. You get Kansas State at home. You do have to go to Texas, Oklahoma State, and Iowa State. So it's a very it's not a manageable schedule. You got to make sure you go 3-0. Make sure you go 3-0 in the non-conference, and you have to, you know, beat Kansas at home, beat Kansas State at home, and then hope for an upset. You know, we'll see where they go from there. And then finally, I think TJ, you'll have Texas Tech. Take us out to Lubbock for Texas Tech. And you got to unmute yourself.
Nope. Sorry about that, everybody. The Texas Tech, another culture change here, going with a second year head coach, Matt Wells, brought him over from Utah State. Definitely an interesting fit. So long, Texas Tech was the air raid of Mike Leach and Cliff Kingsbury. Matt Wells, not shy to go with the pass, However, certainly more defensive oriented, more running oriented. Texas Tech, however, does still have that personnel, which skews towards passing. So, you know, they're not going to completely change that, but it is going to be more of a run-focused game. They return Alan Bowman. He's only played in 11 games over two seasons. When he plays, he's pretty good. I think maybe, you know, gets a little bit too much credit for a small sample size of work, but, you know, over two seasons, he's played 11 games. The receivers are okay. TJ Vasher is very good. He's got the talent to be an all Big 12 guy, but according to Big 12 scouting reports, he struggles with kind of the routine plays while making the spectacular. He needs to be more consistent. Sir Roderick Thompson is a young running back that runs really hard, fits what Matt Wells wants to do on offense, kind of a smash-mouth running back, if you will. But the offensive line's got to help him out. They have to replace both tackles and a starting guard. So starting three new offensive linemen on a team that struggled to protect the quarterback, that's a big concern. Now, the defense last year was in the 80s nationally in terms of scoring. That was still their best that they've had in over a decade. So it tells you how bad the defense has been for a long time in Lubbock. Matt Wells will get that turned around. It's slowly improving. But for now, the Big 12 schedule is really tough. And for them, they have to get better against the pass in order to show some progress in the win-loss department. Six wins is possible, much like Kansas State, much like West Virginia. They're right there in that tier. Of that group of teams, I'd put Kansas State kind of as the top one. I think Texas Tech is going to need some assistance to get to a bowl game. But, you know, we mentioned these different second-year coaches, and you kind of like the general direction they might be going, but not all of them are going to be able to succeed, and maybe only one of them will. So it's kind of a battle to see which of those can progress out of that bottom tier.
Speaking of the bottom tier, let's go over to Lawrence and talk about Kansas and the Jayhawks. Pick Six Previews has them as the 64th out of 65 or 66 Power Five teams for them. They went 3-9 last year. They did finally beat won some games, had some talent. They beat Texas Tech, Boston College, and Indiana State. The guy to know here is Puka Williams. If you don't know who Puka Williams is, you got to watch some Kansas football. He's their running back. He was outstanding last year. He's definitely going to be an NFL pick this year. But outside of that, there's a lot of work to do for Kansas. They ranked near the bottom in every category defensively, and they ranked near the bottom in every category offensively. Mm-hmm. So it's just, we'll see what Les Miles could do, if he could breathe some life into that program again. But they made a coordinator change in the middle of last year. It turned out pretty well. There's a lot of roster turnover for a program that has that much turnover, missing spring practice and having everything canceled. Stinks. Their roster talent over the last 5 years ranked 64th nationally and things like that. But you look at their schedule, you get New Hampshire, that should be a win. You do have to have an early conference game at Baylor, which could set the tone for either team. Baylor just lost their head coach as well. So, you know, we'll see there. Boston College, new coach, comes to Lawrence this year. Revenge game for the Eagles. Then you get Coastal Carolina at Coastal Carolina. So you're hoping that you're 2-2 going into to Iowa State. And then you get the rivalry game against Kansas State on October 10th. Again, another rivalry game that is not on Thanksgiving weekend. You get Oklahoma State at home at West Virginia, your open week, and then you end with Texas at home at Texas Tech at Oklahoma and TCU at home. So it's going to be a long season for Kansas, and you have your basketball problems as well that might flare up. But it's a long rebuild for Kansas, who just they went 0-12 in 2015, 2-10 in 2016, 1-11 in 2017, and then 3-9 the last few years. So that does it for our Big 12 preview, TJ. What games are you watching out for? I know my games to watch this year, my top non-conference game is Texas at LSU on September 12th. And my top conference game is Oklahoma State at Oklahoma on October 24th with a potential rematch in the Big 12 title game. TJ, you could go ahead and unmute yourself as well, and then we could get your picks too, and we'll close it out.
Yep, I agree with those. I would go throw in Iowa State, Oklahoma State, and Stillwater, as I've got that as, you know, going to decide that second Big 12 title game participant. But those games definitely. There's not a ton of good non-conference stuff in the Big 12. Which is too bad. But if you're a Big Ten fan, you only watch Big Ten football, you know, give a peek on these Big 12 games. There's a lot of them on FS1. They've got a good deal with FS1 and then quite a few on ESPN ABC as well. Give them a look. It's a much different style than you see in the Big Ten. I think it's a lot of fun. It's a good league, a lot of schools close to each other, with the exception of the Kansas schools plus West Virginia. And I think it's a really fun league with a lot of teams bunched close together. So I'm excited for it, and I think it's going to be a good one to follow.
Yeah, it should be a good league to follow. Lots of competitive teams, especially in that middle tier outside of Oklahoma. And don't be surprised if you see an upset or two in the conference as well. All right, yeah. TJ, thanks for joining us. We'll let you get back to moving. And congratulations on the new house, and good luck moving.
Yeah, thank you. In a couple weeks, I'll be coming to you from a little bit different space. I'll have a little bit better setup for the podcast. So I'm excited for that, and just hopefully we can get some positive momentum towards the college football season. And, you know, best of luck to everybody out there. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.
Awesome. Thanks, TJ, for joining us. We'll be back next week with our Pac-12 preview. But right now we have a final word from Armchair. Armchair All-Americans is doing a scholarship fund. It is following the senseless murders of Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, and countless other Black community members at the hands of police officers. We want to ensure we do what we can to make a tangible impact on those communities as we grow. Armchair Media will be issuing four $500 scholarships per semester to aspiring Black creatives, so content creators. If you've ever been dismissed as having an unrealistic career path, If you've ever butted heads with parents, teachers, because they don't recognize exactly what you want to do in your life, if you have feared to express yourself or put your work into the world due to potential backlash, we strongly encourage you to apply. We recognize that there are creatives out there who may have bypassed college to pursue other avenues, who didn't get into college because their passions didn't translate to collegiate testing, or who did not have access to the financial means to pay for college. This is why there are only three requirements for eligibility. A Black creative, you're under the age of 21, and you submit a project, which could be a graphic design, photograph, writing, audio, video, journalism, creative writing, et cetera, to scholarship@armchairallamericans.com. Awesome job by Armchair there. that does it for our podcast today. You can follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, as well as the Armchair Media Network. You could follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. We have our Facebook page as well. It's facebook.com/TheHoosierHuddleOfficial. And then come back to HoosierHuddle.com. We're slowly creeping towards the college football season. We'll see what happens. It's still a fluid situation right now. It looks like it's proceeding as planned, as scheduled. And that's how we're moving forward, is until we are told otherwise. It is going to be business as usual outside of expecting fans in stadiums. But keep it tuned to us for all the latest on your COVID updates for college football and all that stuff. So thank you for joining us on this Monday evening. As summer has officially began, and we'll be back next week to talk Pac-12 football.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh my, look at that, he is! And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Searching for NBA playoff coverage? We've got you. The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, gives you an inside look into the world of sports. Hosted by former NBA sharpshooter and Duke legend J.J. Redick and sports writer Tommy Alter, The Old Man and the Three offers unprecedented access to the league. Tommy and J.J. discuss the NBA and interview some of the biggest names in the league, like Devin Booker and Luka Doncic. NBA final season is the perfect time to dive in, and you can listen to The Old Man and the Three wherever you get your podcasts. To hear episodes brought to you by BMW. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.